Welcome to Canadian Politique. I'm Cameron Bishop.
And I'm Leanne Goodman.
No Mike today, folks. He's off sick, can't talk. Leanne, though, has shown up with her busted hip or whatever the hell happened to her on ice a few weeks ago. And I'm coming to you live from the depths of Kathleen Turner's vocal box, because that's what I'm sounding like with this horsey voice of mine. So
sexy.
It is sexy. Really. What was that movie she did back in the day? The first one.
The War of the Roses.
No. Yeah, that was actually the story of my divorce, a prequel to my divorce.
No, Body Heat.
Body Heat. Yes, that's right.
Yes.
I sound like Kathleen Turner circa Body Heat. Hope it's turning everybody on. I know I'm just really turned on right now by my own voice. Anyway, lots of stuff to talk about today. We're going to talk mostly Canadiana. In fact, all Canadian politique today, all Canadian politics, rather. Not U.S., so we're going to give a little bit of a break to our friends down south. Do want to make one point of reference, and that is I interviewed on Tuesday Georgia congressional Democratic primary candidate Richard Winfield. That interview is up on the site and in iTunes, Google Play, all of those good places. I highly encourage you to download it. It has some great information about what he's working towards, the jobs guarantee. The primary is on May the 22nd, so tune in. And hopefully he will be a success and I can then fly down and campaign for him like I promised. So good. So let's talk about a video making the rounds yesterday. I know Mike really wishes he could be here so he could beat me into submission about why we shouldn't do vigilante justice on Twitter. But this Cranbrook, BC woman, who is later identified as Kelly Poca or Pocha, I guess, I don't really know, is seen berating a group of men of Arab descent at a Denny's restaurant in Lethbridge. The video went viral, got hundreds of thousands of views, and eventually led to this lady being terminated from her job at a car dealership in Cranbrook. This lady, Poca, apologized, I guess you can call it that, by saying that the men started it first because they were talking about her in their own language. I'm not too sure if she is an expert in Arabic, but she seems to believe that they were talking about her in their own language and that really this was not her at all, her what you're about to hear, but rather she was just having an off day. Let's roll the clip.
No.
Well, shut your fucking mouth then. Because you know what? You're dealing with a Canadian woman right now, and I will leap across the table and punch you right in your fucking mouth.
For what?
But you're the one who's.
Because you're a fucking ignorant prick, is what you are. Yeah, you're fucking funny, eh?
Oh my god.
Holy fuck. Go back to your fucking country. We don't
need
say
you like
here.
Good speak, just,
you know
just
what?
Respect.
Excuse me?
Just respect. Don't say like that.
Relax.
We all
excuse
Canadian.
Me?
Relax.
Excuse me?
Don't speak
I was
that.
Born and raised
you
here.
Relax.
Mother.
I am
too.
Canadian.
You relax.
It doesn't matter. We're all Canadians.
No,
you relax.
You're
yeah.
not Canadian.
Yes, we're all
no,
the same.
No, you are not
You're
Canadian.
A human being. I'm a human being.
You
there
are
is
not
nothing
Canadian.
Special about you.
No, you are not Canadian.
It does not matter.
You
that
know what?
That doesn't make me.
You know what? I have a different opinion than you.
I don't care.
And I don't give a
care.
Fuck what you think.
I don't care what
How about
you say.
That?
I don't care
How about
what
that?
You say.
Good for you.
Well, good for you, too.
Do you pay taxes here, my friend?
Fucking of course I pay taxes.
Do you pay taxes?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
You know
everybody
taxes.
Pays yes, everybody you fucking pay taxes.
Oh, everybody pays
yes.
taxes, really?
Yeah.
You do.
Of course I fucking
well, you
do.
Were
what
born
do you
and
think?
Raised here?
I pay more
Not
fucking taxes
all your
than
fucking
you.
Friends pay taxes
Don't fucking
here.
Tell me.
Excuse me?
Excuse me.
You know what?
Oh.
You're not dealing with one of your Syrian bitches right now. You're dealing with a Canadian woman, and I'm not going to be talked down
but
to
you're
by
the one
you.
Who turned around and talking to
I'm not going to be talked down
problem.
To by you. So you might, you laugh all you want. You know what? That's a prime example of why we don't want you here.
Okay, what else?
Yeah. Special lady, she was having an off day. I know that when I'm having an off day.
An off day.
Yeah, well, when I'm having an off day or I'm upset, I like to go and yell at immigrants. I don't know about you, Leanne, but like, unbelievable. Unbelievable. She was fired.
It's almost, yeah. It's almost, I start hyperventilating when I listen to it. It's so awful. Like, I really had to, that's the first time I've heard it through because I started to listen to it the other day and it's just like, I can't listen to it. It's just, an off day, really, lady?
If that's an off day, I'd hate to see what an on day is.
Inbred hatred and ignorance of the absolute, you know, monumental scale. And I hate to say it, and I've said it before, we can be so smug as Canadians and we can believe that we aren't as racist as Americans, but we are. And there are millions of her out there. And, you know, what do you do? How do you even change someone who has those thoughts that are so deeply ingrained and so awful?
Yeah.
That's who she is.
It is who she is. She tries to say she did an interview with Lethbridge News after, or sorry, Global News after, rather. And they called her and she said that she went back to the Denny's and apologized, that that's not who she is, that she normally doesn't behave like that. You know what? You had a few drinks by her own admission and she decided to let it out. And when you're drunk, a lot of stuff comes to the fore that you'd rather keep right under the sea.
And the real stuff.
The real stuff.
The stuff that you, right.
And the best is, yeah, she says,
your inhibitions are down.
She says that her husband, in the interview with the Global News, she says, that her husband said that they had started it. Meanwhile, I don't know if you could hear, but on the clip, you can hear him going, relax, relax, to the guys. And he's like chirping her on while she's it's just so vulgar what I had to hear and what everybody had to hear.
And you know what else you wonder when you listen to it and see it? How come no one stood up and challenged her? Not just the guy. I don't mean the guys that she's directing the hate at. I mean other patrons in the restaurant. Like, I would like to think, and in fact, I'm pretty sure I know that I would have, because I've been in this situation on the streetcar in Toronto where some guy went after this lovely little Arabic girl, and like 15, 16 years old, and he's going after her, and I was stood up and was ready to fight him, and he got kicked off the streetcar. But I'm not, and I wasn't alone. There were a lot of people on the streetcar doing that. Like, it's not, I'm not lauding myself, but where, like, if you were a patron and you heard that going on, would you not have stood up? And I don't know, maybe they did, maybe people did, and we just don't see it or know about it. But
well, on the video, you see the manager. The manager actually kicks out the Arabic group.
That's nice.
And then then puts her and her husband, I guess they go and sit somewhere else, as I heard on Global when she was talking to the Global reporter. And then they eventually were asked to leave, I guess, when the police came. But they kick out the group of people. This is a Denny's, not exactly known for high quality cuisine, but they kick out the people who were being victimized by this lady. And I don't know where she gets off saying that she knows for a fact they were talking about her, when by her own admission, they were doing it in, quote, their own language.
And you know what? Maybe they were. And no wonder. Because if that's who she is, and if that's how she presents herself to the world, maybe they were saying, look at this asshole. who cares? They might very well have been.
Well,
but how would she know anyway?
Well, she said that all she did before this all started was she turned around and looked at them, and she said one of the guys was glaring at her. Well, I bet you any money you didn't just turn around once. I bet you turned around a few times because you didn't like the way they were speaking, or maybe they were being a little bit loud and they were speaking another language. So Molly Racist over there decided that she was going to turn around and give them a lesson. Unfortunately, her trailer park antics didn't end so well for her, because she winds up fired from her job that she'd been at 11 years at Cranbrook Dodge, and rightly so. I will say, I know Mike has an issue with it, but I'd love to hear what you think. And Mike, you can chime in next week. We'll revisit it.
We can read what Mike said.
Yeah.
Okay, my thing is this. I don't generally like vigilante justice, but I honestly think that she should be charged with something. Like, I don't think that's a form of assault to do what she did. She got in their face and she said terrible things about them. Go tell it to your Syrian bride. Like, what was all that bullshit?
Oh, no, she says, I'm not one of your Syrian bitches.
Like, what the hell? Like, to me, that is a form of assault and there should be charges. That's what I think. So I understand what Mike's saying. Let's see. What did he say?
So what did he say? He said this.
I'm going to dig it up right now. It was something like keyboard justice. He doesn't like keyboard justice.
Oh, he says this. So he's upset because yesterday, this is the background. Yesterday on Twitter, I decided, you know what? To hell with this. So they reported out her name, and a number of people on Twitter, of which I was one, found out that she worked at Cranbrook Dodge and then started tweeting at Cranbrook Dodge and Dodge Canada and Dodge Cares, the three Twitter handles we could find, and asked if that was a representation of their company. Because you'd have to think that somebody there for 11 years, it must be interfacing with people that beyond those who are of the Caucasian variety, would be representative of the company. Within, I would say, about an hour of people tweeting at these sites, the Cranbrook Dodge social media page on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter were all taken down. They were off for about an hour and a half, and then they were rebooted with a note saying that this lady had been terminated from her employment, does not represent the views of the organization, and that they value inclusivity.
Mike's comment was,
he says,
keyboard warriors
are not solutions.
Shouldn't call someone out on Twitter by their name. It's too easy. This whole let's ruin someone's life from our computer is a stain on our society. That lady's going to get hers without strangers publishing her address and her employer. He may have a point, but honestly, when I hear that, to me, that is an excellent use of social media.
I agree.
Like, right? Like, I'm sorry.
How is it any different than what they used to do with people? They put them in the stocks in the middle of the street. You know, people that would steal or do nefarious things, they would be put in the stocks in like the 15th century or whatever, those wooden stocks with the head and the arms through
Yeah.
And they'd be in the middle of the public square. Well, social media is the new public square. And unfortunately, she's not going to get hers if nobody knows who she is and there's not
exactly.
Kind of a pushback.
If that video hadn't gotten out, there would have been nothing would have happened. It would have been her word versus theirs.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
They might have complained. And, well, she said she didn't say that, and that would be the end of it. So, sorry, lady. You're in a social media world. People have cell phones. You're an asshole, and you just got fired. And honestly, I see not really any problem with that. I do agree with him that there are certain situations where it's like, if it's a political correctness thing, I think it can go too far. Like the Chinese prom dress. I don't know if you follow that whole story. Well, anyway, we can get into that later. But I do think if it's a shady area of political correctness, it can go too far. But this was a blatant, horrible, racist, awful incident in which this woman deserved everything she got. And I think she deserves more. I think she should be charged. But I don't know what the offense would be. Hate crime?
Well, I asked.
Possibly.
I asked Warren Kinsella on Twitter yesterday whether or not, because he's a lawyer, of course, and he's dealt with a lot of issues related to hate crimes. And has been a really strong advocate against those sending some pretty disgusting stuff to places around Toronto, white supremacist garbage that have been going into people's mailboxes. Him and his wife have been fighting it. And he said that possibly she could be charged with a hate crime, but because she apologized, he didn't think so. He thought it might be pretty unlikely. The thing is, though, is that I'm not even sure I would call that an apology. I encourage
That's not
you.
An apology.
It's not an apology when you say they started it. I was upset. I'd had a few drinks and it was an off day.
Had an off day.
Yeah, I don't know about you, Leanne. Do you when you're having an off day?
But she
do you,
accosted them in a public place. Like,
at a Denny's.
Where I think there's a crime.
Like, it just
she
lowers it.
Them.
It lowers it even more. Yeah. It would have to be at a friggin' Denny's where this woman shoots her mouth off.
And accosted them in a public place where they were minding their own business. To me, that feels like some kind of assault. I don't know what you would, I don't know, because I don't know the law very well, obviously, because I'm constantly running afoul of it. But, you know, I say she had it coming. She had that coming to her, and she has more coming to her. I hope her life sucks now.
Well, I think it's about to, but I will say this. Remember when she says, do you pay taxes here? Well, they do.
Yeah.
You no longer do, lady, because you're now unemployed. So no income taxes, nothing. So don't worry about it. But enjoy the EI that we've all paid into, including the immigrant Canadians who helped build this country. So they're helping now support you and your family. Congratulations, Kelly Polka, Idiot of the Week.
Idiot of the Year, maybe.
Idiot of the Year. We have some lovely parting
in
gifts.
Canada.
Called In the Pogie Bag. Enjoy it. Like, I have no sympathy. But can we also marvel at how respectful the people on the receiving end were?
I know.
They let a couple F-bombs fly, but they said, you know, this, be respectful. You know, we're all Canadians. You know, they're pushing back without being inflammatory.
But how hurtful. Can you imagine how they felt when they left that restaurant, when they went home at night and reflected on what happened?
Well, when they were kicked out by the manager, the white manager?
Yeah, yes. It just so hurtful. Like, they come to this country looking for a better life, and they work hard to make a better life and to contribute to our economy, and that's what they get when they're sitting down in a Denny's having a stack of pancakes. That's what you get by some asshole, and then you get kicked out of the restaurant for doing nothing, for standing up for yourself. It wasn't even like they got in her face and said, fuck you, lady, or God, I would have,
or
like,
threw water at her or something.
Right? I would have been swinging if I was one of them, but I'm saying that from a position as a white person, and I know that I couldn't do that. If they'd ever taken a swing, life would have gotten very bad for them. Right.
Well, so exactly. If you don't think you have white privilege, just look at the fact. Look at the fact that the people asked to leave were the ones who were being yelled at and had venom of racist nonsense spewed at them for the better part of how many minutes? We don't know. The video itself in total is about 5.5, 6. And we only heard a snippet. Yeah. But they were the ones who were asked to leave. Yes, Kellyanne. Yeah. Or Kellyanne. Yes, Kelly Poca. Enjoy your white privilege and your EI check. Right.
Enough with her.
Now. I wanted to talk about something that's a little bit sadder, but a week ago yesterday, conservative MP Gord Brown died after having a heart attack in his Parliament Hill office. Brown was 57. His death kind of got me thinking about the toll working the public eye has on parliamentarians, who are all public servants. They all come here to serve their country in a better way. I mean, I'm of obviously the progressive bend, although I am a George W. Bush fan club member. Yeah. But, you know, they're all public servants that do their very, very best in the House, in their ridings, and it takes an impact on their health and it takes an impact on their families. And it got me to thinking about the partisanship that exists and whether we all need to dial it down a bit, listen more to people on the other side, or at the very least, be more respectful of the views of others. Now, Mr. Brown Gord was the fourth MP to die since November 2015. Last September, Liberal MP Arnold Chan died of cancer. Liberal MP Muriel Bélanger died in August 2016 after battling ALS. Also in 2016, Conservative MP Jim Hillier died of a heart attack, as did former Federal Finance Minister Jim Flaherty in April 2014, one month after resigning from cabinet under Prime Minister Harper. Since being in office, Conservative MP Tom Lukowski has survived a heart attack in 2005 and a mini stroke in 2017, as well as other health issues since he was first elected in 2004. There's been Conservative MP Todd Doherty, who survived a health scare at Christmas. And in December 2016, former Trade Minister and Conservative MP Ed Fast survived a stroke. I don't know, Leanne, some days, I mean, I love my pod. I love this pod. I love what we do. But, you know, I wonder how we can be a little bit more respectful of the folks that are on the other side that maybe we don't agree with, because I don't want to see us get to the point where the well is so poisoned that what we're seeing in the United States and the talking heads and the yelling and the screaming and the not listening becomes the norm up here in Canada. Because at the end of the day, these are good people. You don't get into public life because, I mean, unless you're a complete, complete masochist to get into public life. Or if you're Donald Trump, I guess, to screw the public game the system. But
sure, some people do.
Some people do. But by and large, I think that we've got a pretty honorable bunch of folks that are in the Senate and the House that just do their best. And I don't know how we dial it back a little bit, but I do think that maybe we all need to be doing it.
Hmm. You know, I also think it's just the life they've chosen. They're long hours, don't have a lot of time to work out. You're eating on the run. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not sure it's about the poison, toxic politics that's making people sick. I think there's a lot of hours involved. And
yeah, no, I'm not talking about that being the cause. I think the cause is, you know, 50 to 60 hour work weeks. If you're a minister, you can slap on another 20 or 30. You're traveling back and forth. If you're a BC or a Northern MP, well, any MP, you're flying, you know, in on a Sunday night or early Monday morning red eye. You're leaving Thursday evening or Friday after the House ends, and you're back again Sunday evening, Monday morning. And that's a hell of a distance. So there's those kind of issues. But I'm wondering if, you know, we always hear this stuff when somebody passes away. A parliamentarian, good guy, respected on all sides. You know, we need to do a better job of listening to other people and trying to understand where we're coming from and playing to the best parts of who we are in society, because we never know when this day is going to come. And I don't know what it was about that death of MP Brown that had me thinking this week. I mean, I'd like to think that our parliamentarians know that they are valued, but I suppose even I, what a shock, even I contribute to the polluting of debate, I would say. I don't want to dumb it down. I do think that everybody's entitled to vigorous and fulsome opinions, but I do worry sometimes that we can go overboard. And then when something like this happens, we're all left thinking, Jesus, you know, did I have to be that bad? Or do I have to think this? Or how? Not to impugn motives, but rather maybe just to impugn political and policy differences.
I don't think we're as bad in Canada as they are in the United States. But even in the United States, when somebody gets sick, usually people on both sides of the aisle will close ranks. And, you know, there's a lot of political theater that goes on, right? They pretend to hate each other in the house or whatever situation where they're yelling and screaming at each other. And then you'll see them that night out having a beer together. So we have a lot of political theater that goes on here and south of the border. But, you know, I might disagree with you on this. I don't think that we should be any gentler on them when they're trying to bring in policies that are going to hurt and destroy the lives of many people.
No. And let's be clear. We're not laying down the ammo over on this pod. We aren't.
Right.
But I'm thinking that I'm starting to realize is you have to see them as people too, a little bit more than sometimes we do. But don't worry, we're locked and ready to move on to other topics and
locked and loaded.
Locked and loaded, as Sarah Palin might say.
I know when Jim Flaherty died, I covered that funeral, and you know there were the Mulroneys were there, and there were NDPers there, and when Jack Layton died too, they all came together, and I do think there's a separation of what they say politically and how they behave towards each other. That it is a lot of theater that goes on. And I do think Canada has a long way to go before we're anywhere near what goes on in the States. And I also think that has to do with their weird system of government, and the fact that they let money into the political system, right? So they are, you know, beholden to organizations like the NRA to be absolute assholes on gun control, where we don't have that up here. And our parliamentary system means the most votes. Whoever gets the most votes, you know, when a bill gets passed, if it has the votes, not this bullshit supermajority that you have to get in the state. So anyway, I just think the two systems make it slightly less polarized up here.
For the net benefit of everybody.
I feel like I'm going nowhere. I'm off on a tangent and going absolutely nowhere with that.
No, I get it. Look, I was at the Politics in the Pen dinner last night. Ottawa, which was, I mean, let's face it, as JP said when I came in, isn't that the lesser version of the White House Correspondents' Dinner? I thought, well, yeah, I mean, there's some great authors. But what you do see at these dinners, it's attended by, you know, a glittering assortment of people who believe themselves to be important in Ottawa, some who actually are. But everybody's dressed in black tie or tuxedo and gowns and stuff like that. But what, you know, I noticed Candace Bergen, who is my least favorite conservative MP, truly.
Murphy Brown?
Yeah, Murphy Brown. Not as funny as the real Murphy Brown, mind you. And I'd hate to see her in the newsroom because it would probably be the rebel. But she was posing for a picture with Bardish Chagger, the government house leader, and Ruth Ellen Brosseau, the NDP house leader. And they went out, everybody was sitting down to dinner, and I peeked over and they were out in front of the backdrop. Three of them had gotten together and gone out there and were sitting there chatting after. And that kind of gave me some encouragement. I mean, hell, if anybody can tolerate Candace Bergen for longer than 2 minutes, then she must not be that bad of an individual. She just plays one on TV. She is. Like, she's just my least favorite. She, you know, to me...
Why?
Because she, to me, defines that knee-jerk toxicity of partisanship. She comes across as nasty. She is, no doubt, a tough, tough parliamentarian. But I don't view her as somebody that, if I were in the House, would give two craps about what's happening on the other side of the house with people in their daily lives or on the bench if they weren't in my party. Candace Bergen to me is all about Candace Bergen and the political hard right. And that's That to me is more Candace Bergens that are out there, the worse our society is going to be.
You're just totally going against everything you started out saying.
I know that. I mean, I know. And that's the
Fuck
thing.
Candace Bergen, though.
Well, no. Look, I will say this. I do believe, even that brief window, this is what I kind of prefaced it with, right? Seeing those three standing together and then, you know, the three of them were there just chatting and really enjoying themselves for long, probably about 10 or 15 minutes after. I mean, they see each other every day. So, you know, there must, she obviously is probably a lovely person. But my thing is sometimes I think the TV roles that they assign themselves and the desire to get to clips on TV, it really pollutes and sullies the image, not just of Candace Bergen, but
right.
of everybody.
Because she's actually done a lot of stuff on homelessness, which I actually kind of liked about her. But do you ever hear that about her? No.
No. What you hear is that she, liberal arrogance, liberal corruption. And I mean, granted, it's the same kind of crap when the liberals are in the opposition benches too. But, you know, they play these roles on TV and unfortunately, that turns people off. Like, honestly, I see Candace Bergen and my lip curls because I'm just like, ugh. But she can't be as bad as what the perception is on TV. And so I wish that politicians, I guess, be as human outside the house as you are inside when you're trying for 30-second clips on media. Take a hard look at how you're coming across and ask yourself if that's the face that you want to portray to Canadians. So I didn't want it to become a diatribe against Candace Bergen at all, but I do think that this visceral reaction that I have when I see her is because her presence in the public life has just hurt the image that has been crafted around her. And I don't know if it's intentional. I don't know if it's her intentions or media intention she has come to me to define the hardcore, uncaring conservative. And who's only out for partisan gain, period. And everybody else can go to hell. Now, that's probably not true, but that's how she comes across. So I think that, you know, in instances like this, we have to look past, with MP Brown passing away and the other MPs, we have to look past, obviously, the partisanship and the humanity. But I don't think it would hurt sometimes for MPs, senators, ministers to demonstrate that same humanity as opposed to just a desire for a quick clip on the news and to be the attack dog of the day.
Yeah, with you on that.
So Candace Bergen.
Civility would be nice.
I believe you to be a wonderful person. I probably, as I say, I really do. But please, everybody, do a better job. We all come from the same country. We are all part of building a better Canada. We can afford to dial down the nastiness, I think, just a touch. But not on this pod. So let's just jump into... Now let's just jump into this, which now I'm locked and loaded on this. Let's discuss the allegations made this week against NDP MP Christine Moore by a wounded veteran of the Canadian Forces. Now, Glenn Kirkland was a soldier in Afghanistan with the Princess Patricia's Canadian Light Infantry, and he survived a Taliban ambush in 2008 that killed three of his fellow soldiers and badly injured him. His pancreas was smashed, his vision and hearing impaired, and his mind obviously badly racked with PTSD. He continues to live with shrapnel he took in during the rocket attack, and it still works its way to his skin surface. He has begun or has began, I guess he's on a continued daily regime of drugs, including antidepressants, opioid painkillers, insulin, antibiotics, and was still taking them in early June 2013 when he testified before the House of Commons Standing Committee on National Defense against the wishes of the military about his treatment by the military following his injuries. After he testified before committee, NDP MP Christine Moore approached him and asked him to come back to her office so they could have further discussion. Sounds pretty innocent. When Kirkland arrived, Moore decides to pour him a few gins, despite the fact that he was on a litany of medications that I just mentioned. And he says it became very clear to him that the goal of the meeting was not to discuss his testimony. It's like this cheap scene from Dallas that's being built. JR coming in and getting plied with booze. Moore wound up following back to his hotel room. The two had consensual relations. He says, look, I'm not crying rape. I don't like to think of myself as a survivor, but what she did was inappropriate. Was I a willing participant? He says, I guess it depends on your definition of willing. There was a power imbalance. There was a level of authority there. And quote, then more subsequently began sending him sexually explicit text messages, showed up to meet him in Saskatchewan where he was golfing with his friends, uninvited, I might add. He told her that while he was in Saskatchewan, that there would be no relationship going forward. She then shows up a few weeks later at his home in Brandon, Manitoba, unannounced, where Kirkland said he had to be, quote, curt and go far beyond nonverbal cues. So I guess he's like literally throwing her out of the house or throwing her back into her car. I don't know.
Well, it does sound like she stayed there for a couple of days, according to the National Post story. Anyway,
Not in Brandon.
She showed up at one point. He let her stay for a couple of days, according to the Rochford story.
Ah, but anyway, didn't see that.
Anyway,
But Christine Moore, of course, is the same MP who accused her former caucus colleague, Aaron Weir, a member of parliament from Saskatchewan, in a widely distributed email of having made women feel uncomfortable and harassing other women. The investigation into Weir found one claim of harassment and three claims of sexual harassment against him. The report, which still hasn't been released publicly, defined the sexual harassment claims as acts of a sexual nature that, quote, might reasonably be expected to cause offense. The report found that when Mr. Weir was told his advances were unwanted, he stopped. Now, I want to just listen to the clip by Glenn Kirkland here, and then let's have a chat.
Again, it was all, like, I'm not claiming rape here or anything. I want to make sure that that's very clear. Mm-hmm. What happened is she took advantage of her position, and that's pretty disturbing. If the roles were reversed, if I was a female and it was a male MP and the same thing happened, you know, a female doing a very emotional testimony, and then next thing you know, an MP invites a lady back to his office for drinks, this conversation would be so very different.
It's so true. There's rates of sexual assault in adult men are 1 in 8, but according to a 2014 Stats Canada report, only 1 in 200 men report sexual assault. The chair of the Ontario Coalition of Rape Crisis Centers said that men at greater risk of sexual assault include those who are gay or perceived as gay, as well as men with physical or intellectual disabilities. So what do we think about Christine Moore? I guess the first thing I thought was, how depraved do you have to be sitting at a committee hearing looking at a veteran who is obviously in dire need, ends his testimony weeping, and looking at him as a possible notch on your bedpost? How sick is that?
It is pretty sick. It happens in the reverse a fair number of times, I'm sure.
Oh, totally.
Right. But I'm not diminishing at all what his allegations. He's totally right. If the genders were reversed, she'd be in jail. It's really gross. Sounds like she, honestly, she sounds like a stalker, right, if it's true?
Well, and apparently she is the same MP that made allegations against former Liberal MPs Scott Andrew and Massimo Pacetti that resulted in those men being expelled from the caucus and eventually the Liberal Party themselves. They no longer sit in Parliament. Meanwhile, she's a predator.
However, the two aren't mutually exclusive.
Right?
She could have been assaulted and also been an assaulter. I'm not saying one caused the other or one, I don't think they're related at all. They're not mutually exclusive. But it certainly does, seem pretty weird. Like you experienced this yourself and then you apparently did it to somebody else.
A veteran. I don't know why sexual assault, let's be 1,000%, 1,000,000% clear, whether it happens to women, whether it happens to men, irregardless, it is an evil, it is a blight, and the people that conduct it should be locked up, period. I don't know why I find it just so, just disgusting that it's a veteran in such dire need that she took advantage of. I hope the nursing college, by the way, is looking at her nursing degree, because why that should be allowed for her to be feeding gin to a man on those kind of medications is a travesty.
Yeah, it is a pretty awful story when you read it. I do find it interesting, however, as a total aside, that one of the female journalists reporting on it had a reputation of hitting on veterans herself. Or
what?
Not veterans. Afghan soldiers herself when she was covering I can't say the name, but I know that, you know what's interesting, how this story came out, is that this was a rumor on Parliament Hill that everyone had heard for years, and then Neil McDonald of CBC finally phoned the guy and said, is this true? And he told Christy Blatchford that he didn't really want to spill it, but he was put on the spot, you know, because it was 5 years ago.
Yeah, he was, 2013.
But, you know, Neil McDonald had some information, and it was kind of nothing he could deny, so he didn't willingly tell the story, apparently. So that's interesting, too. Also, the number of times the guy keeps saying, I'm not a rape victim, you kind of feel for him, right? Like, there's a shame factor there for men when they are in that situation. And I'm not just talking grown men, but I've known a couple of, you know, boys who were sexually assaulted who were so ashamed that it had happened to them because there was a physical response that they don't want to be viewed, and they don't view themselves as victims. They are eaten up with guilt and self-loathing because there was a physical response to what was being done to them. But of course there is.
Right.
Right. It's just the way men are made. And it sounds like that's kind of what happened in his situation. He sort of skirts around it a bit. He says something to Blatchford like, well, I'm only human, or which kind of gets to why men probably don't report very often, because they do. There is a physical response, even if they aren't going through the motions willingly. Anyway, the whole thing is just so gross. It's such an awful story. You really feel for the guy.
Well, he says in the interview, I think it was with Neil McDonald, he says, you have to understand what a member of parliament looks like to a grunt soldier.
Yeah.
You know, he probably doesn't know that, you know, yes, it's true. A member of parliament, they're all important in the sense that they represent their community. But to be honest, if you're sitting on a committee and you're a member of the third party or even any MP, really, there's not a lot of stuff coming out of committee that you are going to get advanced. It's important work for doing studies and such. But at the end of the day, it's not like the Armed Services Committee in the U.S. Senate. There's not a lot of power.
Yeah.
And so he's sitting there. He's got this MP on the National Defense Committee. It sounds very prestigious. He's a soldier, an infantryman, and she starts making passes at him. Maybe he's turned on, maybe he isn't. It's neither here nor there, but I would say that he's absolutely right. It was a power imbalance. And when you're in the military and everything is about subordination to the people that are above you, you can see how this could have been perceived by Christine Moore as an opportunity to take advantage of the situation. And I just think it's really vulgar. There's no question, though, that what happens to women and children is infinitely worse and happens more often than what has happened to men. But I just find this, it makes me feel physically sick when I think about it. It's just so disgusting. She should resign.
She should resign. She should be tossed out. You can't toss the men out and not toss the woman out. I'm sorry. Right?
She should be held to the same level of justice that she wanted for others.
And the other weird thing about it is beyond the first night, there was this unwelcome attention. She was showing up and like she was stalking him. So, you know, that goes beyond even what some of the allegations we've heard about some of the male MPs is. So you cannot kick the men out and not kick a woman out who is arguably accused of something that's even creepier and worse. Like, it's a bit Glenn Close, right? Fatal Attraction.
Yeah. Look out for the bunny. Yeah, that's right. I was going to say one of the things that Jagmeet Singh said, so he's announced an investigation. Moore has been suspended from her duties as an NDP MP. She still sits in the caucus, but she doesn't sit on committees, can't ask any questions. But he basically said, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, we knew the allegations were out there, but, you know, when people knew about it or how they came to know about it is neither here nor there, something like that. And I thought, I don't think so. No, I think it matters, actually. If there was any whispers on Parliament Hill that this was going on and nobody, I mean, one thing if they thought it was a relationship, but are there people up there that thought and knew that this had happened and thought it was completely inappropriate and said nothing?
Well, he apparently went to a meeting the next day and she had already told people and people were joking with him. Like, hey, I hear you got some last night. It was just one of those situations. Like, she had told people and it got around as though it was some sexy consensual thing. So it was one of those things where everybody on Parliament Hill had heard about it or knew about it. But I guess what people didn't know was that he was an unwilling participant. I guess that started to get out, and that's why Neil McDonald made the call. I don't know how it went down, but I do know that it had been rumored about and talked about on Parliament Hill for a while. But honestly, there's a lot of, like, having worked on Parliament Hill for a couple of years, there's a lot of rumors and a lot of stories about a lot of people on Parliament Hill that haven't come out yet. And as I was mentioning, there, one of the female journalists who's been writing about this story, my understanding was not allowed to come back to Afghanistan at one point because she was hitting on all of the male soldiers to such an aggressive extent. So women do it too.
Well, I think this is why Me Too movements are so important. Amy Kashek, of course, yeah, who was our guest a few weeks ago, she tweeted something out that was really interesting. She basically said the Me Too movement was never just for women. It's a non-binary movement. And this is a Me Too movement as well. Everybody needs to do a better job. If you're in a position of power, stay the fuck away from other people who are your subordinates, who are testifying before you. It's not hard. Just stay the fuck away from them. That's it. And don't act like an asshole. Nobody wants... Don't take your bra off over a gin, and don't whip your dick out in front of your team members. Come on.
Like, you just do not hit on people you work with, period. It's just not that difficult. I have been in a close working relationship with my male boss, who has been my boss off and on for the last 30 years. And we have never, there has never, ever at any point been anything weird between us, because we know you don't. And because he's like a brother to me, and it would be gross, but you know, like, you just doesn't, you don't do it. It's such a no brainer. You don't get involved with people who work for you or hit on people who work for you.
I've worked for three female MPs, Marlene Catterall, the late Diane Marlowe, and Carolyn Bennett, who's now Indigenous Affairs Minister and, or Indigenous Relations Minister rather. And none of them have ever put me in a position where I felt inappropriate. I know that I can say that because I apparently am one of the lucky ones, because that kind of crap goes on all the time, not only among male MPs, but I guess some female MPs with journalists, whatever the case may be. But I've worked for good people up on the Hill, and I'm so, you know, disgusted and ashamed, really, when I hear that this kind of stuff has gone on by those who are supposedly on the side of the victims. And that's just a tragedy.
And honestly, should know better. Like, come on. You're not an idiot.
Pervy Christine Moore, anyway, you need to resign. That's the end of it. Go back, take your gin, and take your inappropriate fantasies back to your riding and stay there. Go get a job somewhere else. We don't want you here.
If it's a gin and tonic with a slice of lime, I might have been, you know, enticed to come up to her office too.
I'm not a big fan of gin. Yeah, and I don't know. Maybe she gets turned on by individuals with PTSD and some very bad injuries. I don't know. But I'd pass on the gin. Thanks anyway, Christine. Okay, so
next,
let's talk about, as we wrap up, our stories of the week. Leanne, you get to go first.
Okay, well, I've become obsessed with Michael Avenatti, the Stormy Daniels lawyer.
Yes.
Like, I honestly think that the FBI is now just leaking shit to him, because he's come out. He came out with all that stuff the other night about the Russian oligarchs funding the fake company that Trump's lawyer paid Stormy out of, and AT&T hired this company, and Novitas, right? Like, he's just coming, and his Twitter feed is unbelievable. Today there was one about an email that proves that, Cohen is sending the 2 days after Cohen's office was raided by the FBI, he sends an email to another law firm. He's got all these emails. Nobody can figure out where he's got them, where he's clearly, Cohen is trying to obstruct justice. Like, the email makes it pretty plain that Cohen is in the process of trying to obstruct justice 2 days after the raid. And this guy, Michael Avenatti, he's got all the emails, and he's just tweeting shit out all day long. It's like in real time. He's like deep throat on Twitter. It's amazing.
Yeah, no, he's so pretty amazing. Give him a follow. Watch what he's saying. Stormy Daniels and her lawyer may be the one to bring down the crime syndicate Trump administration. Yeah. So watch what they're doing because everything they're doing. I think, Leanne, I think you're right. I would not be surprised. The FBI has been maligned so badly by President Trump. The CIA, yeah. Any intel service really in the United States has been maligned so badly because he knows that they have dirt on them, but they're a professional outfit across the board. But at any rate, they are, I am sure, leaking like a sieve right now because they know what a danger he poses, not only to the United States, but around the world. You can't trust this guy. So if Stormy Daniels and Michael Avenatti are the ones to bring this down, I think it would be fitting justice for President Pinky Poker.
Yeah, and then there's this other story now though, where they think that the other guy who got paid, who got money for another Republican money guy who took money from that slush fund to pay off a woman who he apparently impregnated. There's this other amazing piece in New York Magazine where the author has broken it down and is arguing, in fact, he was just pretending to be the person who impregnated the other Playboy bunny who they paid off. It was Trump. Trump had impregnated this.
Who are these people that want to have Donald Trump seed in their body? I don't know, Leanne. You're the one who talks about him all the time, like you're turned on by him. It's just so vulgar. All these women are like, oh, yeah. He doesn't have any money. Well, he does now. He's using his position to benefit of an oath.
A man who's on TV who makes like he's a big, rich, wealthy mogul, and and you're not smart enough to realize obviously he has money. Look where he lives. He does have money. A guy with money can get anyone. Look at how ugly someone. Look at what's his face, Rupert Murdoch, the old guy. They all can.
He's with Jerry Halliwell now, isn't he?
Jerry Hall, for God's sake.
Oh, Jerry Hall,
that's
right.
They can all pull chicks. They can all pull chicks if they've got money. A guy you wouldn't look at on the street can be banging a supermodel if he's got lots of money and he's spending it on her.
It's just so disgusting.
Gross, but it's true.
And all these people are like, yes, Donald Trump, let's have unprotected sex. Like, I just want to choke down the bile and wash it down with kerosene.
Yeah, I hear you.
My story is just a local one, predicting that right now a poll that was out today by Forum Research has the Progressive Conservative Party of Ontario at 40% and the Provincial New Democratic Party trailing the Conservatives by just 7 points, and the Liberals are in third with 22%, which means that right now, if an election were held, we would have an official opposition to NDP with 37 seats, I believe. No, 35 seats. The Tories would have 75 and the Liberals would have 12. I have to say, though, I don't know if everybody out there saw Andrea Horvath on the leaders debate on City News. She did a great job.
I did not, but I heard she was great.
She was great.
My lookalike, apparently. Somebody once told me that she could be my sister. And
if she becomes premier, they might need a body double.
Great.
Look at that. You could be Andrea Horvath.
I prefer it when I get told I look like the woman on Better Call Saul or Cameron Diaz. I'll take those compliments. Thanks. Anyway, that's a terrible thing for me to say. She's a lovely woman.
Yeah, she is.
And I heard she was great. I heard she did a really great job. I didn't see it. I'm ashamed to say.
Well, I would just say that I voted NDP in the last provincial election. I'm always one of these swing voters. Federally, I'm a Liberal. But provincially in Ontario, I've voted PC under John Tory. I voted for Dalton McGuinty. I voted for Mike Harris. I voted for the provincial NDP. And I'm going to do so again, that the provincial NDP, I think, has earned the vote. And I really, really hope that though its 7-point advantage can see a surge like Rachel Notley saw in Alberta, and we can get a new face that is not, it's not Liberal, it's not Tory, it's a new face with a new gang of people that can come in and govern for the next 4 or 8 years. Because the other two, the Liberals need a break, and I don't mean that pejoratively, but when you've been in power for 15 years, I think has to be a mandatory timeout. I just believe that. And I think Kathleen Wynne is a lovely, lovely lady and highly, highly, highly competent. And I think she truly does have the best interests of Ontario at heart. But I think that when a party has been in power for 15 years, I don't know how we fix that, but I just don't think you become too identified with government and you need to go back and do a reset. The PCs, you know, Doug, I wanted to like you, my friend, but I don't like his musings about the green belt. He comes across like he doesn't really understand the issues. Maybe that'll get better as the campaign wears on, but I don't think so. And so, you know, until they sort out their issues, I think the conservatives need to stay on the opposition benches. But Horvath, I really believe she has more experience than Doug Ford, for sure. She's been in the legislature for years. This is her third election campaign. She's ready. So let's give somebody new a chance for once. Toronto, Ottawa, Northern Ontario, Southwestern Ontario, for once. Let's try and give this a go. I mean, Andrea Horvath is not Bob Rae of the 1990s, and those were even different circumstances from an economic standpoint. We're in a good position here. We want to keep moving forward as a province. She's offering some amazing policies. Free dental care, for one, comes to mind. You know, regulating gasoline prices, buying back Hydro One. These are things that we as a society not only need, but I think the majority of Ontarians would like to see. So give Andrea a chance, and let's see what we can do. That's my story of the week.
Good for you.
How's, before we let you go, so is your hip better or what?
Oh, I had to have an MRI, and I find out in a couple of days. Some days it's fine, other days it sucks. I think I've torn, my doctor thinks I actually ripped a muscle while I was shoveling that ice storm shit. So, lesson to all of you, even if you work out 5 days a week, the ice storm was going to get you. Be careful when you shovel.
That fucker old man Winter, eh? He took a shit right on your lawn and busted your hip.
And I hit my head. It was real, still not right.
Yeah, that's bad news, Leanne. But you're spry as anything, so at least you're not, you haven't lost any mental faculties. That's great.
Well, others would disagree. Okay, I'll talk to you next week.
All right,
hopefully
ciao.
Hopefully Mike will be back.
Yeah, okay, hopefully Mike will be back. Feel better, Mike. So next week, Mike will hopefully be back. Leanne will be on the mend for her hip. And I will hopefully not sound like Kathleen Turner in Body Heat anymore. But I also want to remind you to download the podcast with Richard Winfield, the congressional candidate in the Georgia 10th for the Democratic primary. That is called Georgia's Bernie Sanders. It's up right now. It's a great interview. Have a listen. And we also have some other very exciting interviews coming up as well. Ottawa City Councillor Scott Moffitt is going to be here. I wanted to talk with Scott. We got into a little bit of a back and forth on whether or not taxpayers should be subsidizing politicians promoting themselves in local newspapers with or any newspapers, or if politicians generally should be putting their pictures on things if it's subsidized by tax dollars, because it gives an unfair advantage to them over their competitors going into an election campaign. And also because, frankly, I believe that we don't pay money just so a city councilor or the mayor or whoever else should slap a picture of themselves up because, I don't know, it makes them feel good. It's about the community. It's not about any one person. So Scott and I are going to sit down. I'm looking forward to having Councillor Moffitt on there. I think it's going to be a vigorous but good discussion. And Louisa Savage of Politico is going to be on the pod in the next few weeks as well in June. So lots of good stuff coming up, and we will have more as we go forward. We're always building and building and building. Thank you for tuning in, folks, and we'll see you next week. Ciao.